Hebrews chapter 12. The 12th chapter of Hebrews and verse 3. For consider him. Consider him. Well, in what way? Seven ways, real quick. Let's consider him in the eternality of his being, the Son of God, which dwelleth in the bosom of the Father from eternity past, way back as far as you can go before the creation of earth, before the creation of the angels. There was the Lord Jesus Christ dwelling in the bosom of the Father and bringing infinite joy and delight to the heart of God. Then consider him in his incarnation. What a marvelous thing that that blessed one, the Son of God, left the glories above, come down to this scene in earth and become as a man. Consider him then as that babe in Bethlehem's manger. And yet, that same time, he was who was the creator of all things, held all things into being. He never ceased to be what he was because of what he became. He laid aside the visible insignia of his majesty and deity, but he didn't lay aside his deity. He was ever the same. And so consider him as the eternal one, the Son of God, dwelling in the bosom of the Father, in incarnation, coming into the scene as a babe in Bethlehem's manger, and yet the one who still held all creation in his grips. Consider him in his life. As he went about, he opened up the eyes of the blind, the ears of the deaf, caused the lame to walk, cleansed the lepers, fed the multitudes. And in Psalm 109 it says, for my love, they return me hatred. Such was the incorrigibleness of the human heart. So consider him then in death. And that, the blessing that we have and the enjoyment, not so much the enjoyment, but on the first day of the week, that we can come together in that remembrance. And I remember I was in a breaking of bread one time, and I looked over and I saw an elderly brother. And my mind was on things right there, so to speak, but wandered a little bit. And I said, you know, I think he's 60 years old. And if he remembered the Lord each Lord's Day at 50, and I multiply it, I said, you know, he's hundreds of times that he has remembered the Lord on the first day of the week. I wonder if it doesn't become commonplace. You know what I mean? Just matter of fact. He got up and gave thanks. Tears streaming down his face. Now, and I trust that that's the way it is with us, brethren. Each Lord's Day when we come together, it's not commonplace. But every time we come, we're just... the enjoyment of being there where two or three are gathered under my name, and to offer the sacrifice of praise, the fruit of our lips, to him who loved us and gave himself for us, and the Father for sending the Son. And so in his death, and then, you know, I like when reading through the Gospels, after we read of all that the indignities and being heaped upon the Lord Jesus Christ, and then the putting him to death, and then on the third day, he is not here, he is risen. Oh, I think they're glorious words. CHM used to use a word, enfranchising the heart. Well, that was a big word. I had to go to the dictionary to find out what enfranchising my heart, but it's better felt than telt sometime. And so I know, even though I didn't know what he was talking about, I know how blessed it was to know he is not here, he is risen. And then his ascension, they just saw him go up and seated at the right hand of the majesty on high. And what is he doing there? Our great high priest is sitting at God's right hand above, for us his hands uplifted in sympathy and love. And we won't know until we get home that the Lord will recount to us a lot of the times that we were about ready to make a mistake, pitfalls that the enemy had put before us, and his mighty intercession availed. That would cause us to, maybe the Spirit of God to come in and say, that's wrong, don't go that way, don't get involved in this thing or that thing. And so his mighty intercession is our resource. And now, one other thing then, this is the seventh thing, consider. Looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. So that's what we're looking for, that glorious appearing. What needs to be fulfilled in prophecy if we were looking at such a thing, you know, that would say, well, he can't come. I used to set dates. I figured, well, look, he wasn't born into the year 6, and 2,000 years, and day with the Lord is 1,000 years a day. Okay, 2006, he's going to come. Well, that's human calculations. He may, and we should be in expectation. What a blessedness. The Lord himself shall come. Arise, my love, my fair one, and come away. The shout will come, and the dead in Christ, and we which are alive, caught up into the Father's house, where there's pleasures, joys evermore, then we shall be with him and like him throughout those ages of eternity. And so he's coming for us, and then he's coming with us, because we are associated with him when he reigns for 1,000 years. He will have us, his associates, with him. We shall share in it. I used to tell some people, I'm going to be the mayor of West Palm when he comes back. Well, we don't know what we're going to be, mayor, governor, or whatever it might be. But all it is just to have the knowledge of him who loved us and gave himself for us. And he will have rewards for those that have gone on faithfully and pleased him in our walk here below. A little while the Lord shall come. A little while the Lord shall come, and we shall wander here no more. He'll take us to his Father's home, where he for us is gone before. The song.
To see
and blessed seed.